Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. It's always a privilege and a pleasure to come before you. Very quickly, you may see that they're eating bugs in Ethiopia. I am not kidding. The UN is using the UK resources right now to facilitate this. Ethiopia is next. I guarantee Europe and America will follow. Our food supply is being decimated. And if this train strike goes through on September 16th, where 62% of our food is shipped by rail, that's a DOT, Department of Transportation figure, I guarantee you we're going to start being in dire, dire straits. So can I suggest to you that maybe it's time you got as much storable food as you can possibly afford? That's what we've done here at our house. Go to foodwithdave.com. That's foodwithdave.com. And also, too, we're suffering in comfort. Mike Lindell's people approached us, said, hey, would you like to do some things with us? Absolutely. Well, we're going to give a great deal to your audience, Dave, because we appreciate what you do. And I go, whoa, thank you. And this is for you guys. 2-for-1, 50% off. Go to mystore.com, coupon code Hodges. Real simple, mystore.com, coupon code Hodges. Great products. I've used them long before they ever called me. I've got the slippers. I got the bed sheets. I got the pillow casings. I even have the dog bedding. So, I mean, I love my pillow. And if you haven't tried them out, you will too. And they have new product lines too that you'll see when you go there. And then finally, may I also tell you that brownouts, blackouts are coming. They're happening in California. And in fact, Energy Secretary Granholm said this is the model for the rest of the country. If your power stays off too long, where are you going to get your water? You need water purification because you'll have to scavenge. And I recommend one filter per family because you need to think about volume. So where do you get it? The best, the very best. The Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter, ranked number one. You'll see the research when you go to the site, waterwithdave.com. They, like our food representative, they've not raised prices. They still have specials. I don't know how they're doing it, but they are doing it. Go to waterwithdave.com. Well, we have guest Tom Rentz on the show. We first met Tom when he was the legal representative for the frontline doctors and did a stellar job with that. And these people are still heroes in my book. And they're continuing to do good work. And so is Tom. He's a frequent guest on Clay Clark's tour. And he does a fantastic job with that. In fact, you know, we just interviewed Clay over on our TV side last week. And Tom is a frequent guest. And he's developed quite the national reputation. And he's kind enough to take a little bit of time to come and join us to enlighten us about what's happening with gain of function. How much exposure are we going to get? What are we going to learn? Are there legal ramifications for what's coming? And also, we're going to talk about Der Fuhrer's speech last Thursday. Tom, welcome to the show. It's always great to have you.
Glad to be here, Dave. I always love coming on and talking with you.
Well, let's start with gain of function. I think Fauci is ducking and hiding by saying, well, I'm going to resign in December, coincidentally, 1 month after the election.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's probably a good decision on his part, but I don't think it's going to work out real well. You know, the problem is that what Fauci has done is just absolutely shocking. We talk about this, and he went out and he went in front of Congress and said that, you know, he didn't fund gain of function work. Here's the problem. You know, we've got Steve Bannon and all sorts of guys that are right now getting attacked everywhere because, you know, we've got contempt of Congress, all these different things that no one ever gets charged for, at least until now. But now if you're a political enemy of the left, you get charged with everything and, you know, we go after you. So here we have Fauci, who without a doubt funded gain-of-function research that, you know, to my mind is unquestionably resulted in the creation of SARS-CoV-2 and this whole nightmare that we're dealing with. And, you know, the question is going to be, what are they going to do about it? You know, I mean, we know that what happened. We know that he did this. But what are we going to do about it now that we know that? I think that if they don't have the same sort of investigations and do the same sort of, prosecutions, everything like that, with Fauci, that they're doing with all of these guys who, you know, didn't really do anything other than act as, you know, normal political people, I think that they're devastating what's left of the very, very, very little respect Americans have for our justice system.
Well, I think you're right, but will these people ever pay a price? Look at the Russian collusion delusion. Okay, we have Sussman on trial for lying to the FBI, which he clearly did. He was part of the fake affidavit information, with the FISA court. But on the jury, they had Clinton donors, and the judge was a Clinton and Obama supporter. How do you get justice?
Yeah, that was really a mind-blowing thing, to be honest with you. Yeah, and that's the problem, is until the people take a stand, we really aren't going to have justice. The people are going to have to force this. Now, I'm working on a case where we're going to be looking at some things and trying to really push this from the legal standpoint. But ultimately, this is going to come down to the people insisting on justice. You know, if the people won't stand, nothing else matters. So we'll see what happens with that. Yeah, but this gain of function thing, Dave, is really an important thing. And we had a 5-hour hearing, which was very well done. Thank you, Rand Paul and senators that participated in this. But here's the problem. We spent 5 hours on something that should have taken 15 minutes. And I've broken this down a couple times this way, and I'd love to, for the audience here, kind of explain the gain of function.
Yeah, please do.
So when we talk about gain of function, you have to understand that a virus does one thing. It reproduces. That's all. Okay, so in reproducing, sometimes, it's more dangerous, sometimes it's less dangerous. Sometimes it reproduces faster or slower. But the only purpose a virus has in life is to reproduce. Okay, so it's not trying to find a family. It's not trying to find a job. All it does is reproduce. Well, when you talk about gain of function, there's no legal definition. So as it applies to a virus, it literally means did you do something that created the virus or resulted in the virus gaining function? So it's very straightforward. Now, in this instance, EcoHealth Alliance received funding from Anthony Fauci, and they admitted in scientific studies and elsewhere, and we've got that they did gain of function work. They created chimeric viruses. They created these different viruses, right? So we spent 5 hours talking about whether or not that's gain of function. Well, here's the deal. If you have a virus, and if you experiment on it, and if that experiment changes the virus, then it's probably going to change the virus's functionality, because the only thing a virus does is reproduce. It could make it more dangerous. It could make it more virulent. But either way, it's whatever you do, if you change that virus, you're changing its functionality. So these experiments that they did creating these chimeric viruses, of course they change the functionality. If they change the functionality, it gained functionality, gain of function. I mean, just plain as can be, right? Not complicated. You don't have to be a PhD to understand. If you take a wheel and you cut it in half, you change its functionality, right? It doesn't run the same way. If you add something to it, you change its functionality. Whatever you do, it changes its functionality. So did they do something that changed this virus's functionality? And the answer is yes. Yes. Now, what they did specifically in this case was they did work to make it so that it could spread more easily to human-type cells. They wanted to make it so that this could – to see what sort of adaptations would be necessary for this to connect to these receptor parts of the human body. They're called ACE2 receptors. So they experimented. They found ways to do that. That literally couldn't be anything but gain of function. This virus literally gained function from these experiments. So when Fauci says, no, we didn't fund gain of function work, that's an outright lie. We have the grants. We have the grants. We have the reports from the grants. We got all this stuff. He outright lied. So this is really not a complicated thing. We don't need to get into the nuance of gain of function. The question is, did you experiment on a coronavirus? Yes. Did that virus change or alter its functionality as a result of those experiments? The answer is yes. how is that not gain of function?
I agree. Can I ask you, do you know how the gain of function changed, how it morphed? Was it more deadly, less deadly? What would you say?
Well, it would be more deadly to humans because the initial virus that they had in its natural state arguably would not transmit to humans. So in the Menagerie paper, what they talk about is they talk about the fact that they were creating these chimeric viruses that would better connect with what's called the ACE2 receptor. The ACE2 receptor is it's part of a cell where the spike protein can connect in to that ACE2 cell. So what they did was they added the spike protein to these viruses, and that allowed these viruses to connect to human cells so that they could reproduce better. So it made it more virulent and more transmissible to humans. And basically, you know, that caused the whole problem. Prior to this, you know, these things were in bats, and they were arguing that they were ready to jump to humans, but they weren't doing it. There was no COVID-19, prior to these experiments. After these experiments, there was, and we have a whistleblower who says that yes, they created SARS-CoV-2 viruses in the lab. We know that they were doing the experimentation that would do that. This is such a open and shut case that there's really no question about this other than why is Anthony Fauci not in jail? Why is EcoHealth Alliance not, and all of its leadership, you know, answering to the courts on this? I mean, this is really, really clear.
Two words to answer your question. Merrick Garland.
Yeah. 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 I think that those two words really sum it up. It's a real shame that he didn't make it on the Supreme Court, given the good job he's doing at the DOJ.
Yeah, I didn't think this would be possible, but he's a bigger menace in the position he's in as if he had replaced a liberal Democrat justice.
That's possible.
Yeah.
That's possible.
It's scary. He's dangerous no matter where he's at. And he's the epitome of a dictator's enforcer. He's Heinrich Himmler.
Well, he is. He's an absolute nightmare. There's just no respect for the law. So as a lawyer, and I think this is really important for people to understand. So, you know, Dave, you let me come on your show, which I'm always grateful for, and I'm grateful to talk to this audience. And, you know, one of the things I'm doing is I'm fighting for change. I'm fighting for our freedom, fighting for all these different things. But you have to understand something. The reason I come on the show and the reason I do all these things is because ultimately change has to come from we the people. Okay, we the people are a necessary part of this whole thing. And here's what Merrick Garland doesn't seem to either know or care about. As an attorney, when I go into a court, my job as an officer of the court is not to change the law. The courts don't have the legal authority to change the law. The only thing the courts can do is apply the law to a set of facts. And if the law has been misinterpreted or interpreted wrong, we, the lawyers, can argue for what the correct interpretation is. But we cannot. We have no ethical right or ability to go to the court and say the law should be this when it isn't. Merrick Garland seems to view the law as something that is a tool for him to wield, and you know, if it doesn't say what he wants it to, he'll find a way to make it work or just ignore it. I mean, the DOJ has been politicized to the point that it is absolutely meaningless as a tool of justice. I mean, the FBI right now is essentially acting as a Gestapo. They're politicized. They're not looking at things in terms of justice, or you would see Hunter Biden long since in jail. You know, I mean, we're going to go through Melania Trump's underwear drawer, but we're not going to look at Hunter Biden's laptop. I mean, the number of crimes that are allegedly admitted to on that laptop are mind blowing for him and for Biden, the big guy, you know, but we're going to go after, you know, guys like Steve Bannon, we're going to go after guys who like Mike Flynn for nothing. And we're going to leave guys who are real criminals go. This is an absolutely untenable situation. And it really brings a lot of discredit to the whole justice system. I mean, the courts, everything look bad because of what these guys are doing.
Well, they look worse than bad. They're complicit in what they're doing. They become co-conspirators for what they're doing. It's downright scary how far this is going. But Congress is, too. Do you know, I don't know if you knew this or not. There's a bill in the House right now to basically end the alternative media. Now, they say they won't do it based on political ideology. The criteria will be hate speech, misinformation. So anything they disagree with, they'll just put that label on. Did you know that was coming?
Well, I mean, they've been pushing for this sort of thing. I don't know which bill you're referring to, but they've been pushing for this sort of thing for a number of years. I mean, you know, they just keep repackaging censorship. They call it hate speech. They call it misinformation. Look at the UN. I mean, the UN has got UNESCO has just put out a huge initiative on combating false and misinformation. And, you know, the first thing they talk about is on global warming, which I refuse to call it climate change. You know, they keep changing the moniker because every time they say anything, it ends up being wrong. They started out with global cooling. That was wrong. So then they moved on to the ozone hole. Well, that didn't work out because the ozone hole closed up. Then they moved on to global warming. Well, Al Gore's hockey stick apparently missed the mark because after 2015, we're still here. You know, so then we have to move on to climate change. That way we can just say whatever's happening out there is clearly the result of our cars. So, I mean, you know, this whole thing is, it's always been about information control because, you know, the First Amendment is really the foundation of ensuring freedom. And the Second Amendment is really the foundation of preserving the First Amendment. You know, those two amendments probably have done more to preserve our nation than anything else, and so they have to eliminate them. I mean, if you look at any communist country or dictatorship in history, they control religion, they control speech, they control thought. And as soon as they can disarm the people, those are the first things they do. So this isn't a surprise. You know, I mean, they've tried to do it through social engineering, and it's not working out real well. You know, they do all the censorship. Well, then Trump starts Truth Social and Getter and Cloud Hub and all these other, you know, alternatives. And they shut us down in the mainstream media. Well, nobody watches the mainstream media now. They come to shows like yours to get real news. So, you know, this isn't a surprise to me in the least. You know, this is just one of the most necessary things they have to do to secure their future goals as communist dictator thugs.
Boy, interesting. And you praised it so well because they are thugs. It's like we're being ruled by the mafia. And the mafioso behavior. I mean, you know, they even went through Barron's room and went through his stuff. Like can you imagine Donald saying to his son, "Hey, son, I need you to hide these classified documents because the FBI might come here someday."
Yeah,
I mean, it's insane. It's absolutely insane what's going on.
There is absolutely zero question in my mind that the question isn't whether any laws were broken with that. The question is how many.
Yeah.
I mean, there was nothing about that was done in line with the Constitution or in good faith. I mean, but does it surprise us from a guy who's going to channel Stalin and Hitler for a speech and tell half the country that they are a threat to democracy?
Yeah.
I mean,
I agree. I want to ask your opinion on something, Tom. The background has been a source of a lot of consternation. The red background, the macabre background. I asked my audience, I said, how did you see the background? Did you see it as satanic? Did you see it as hammer and sickle, you know, better red than dead, that kind of thing, you know? So how did you see this? Well, how did you see that red background? What was your interpretation?
So my interpretation was very general. And the reason for that is so I'm not a guy, when I read a poem, which I try to avoid doing, or when I read, you know, literature, I don't like to try and determine, you know, every nuance of the author's thought. If I'm doing something that, like that, I just generally, I'm looking for what's apparent. And what's apparent there was that it was threatening. My reaction was threatening. Yes, I immediately thought of Hitler, Stalin. But the thing that I really thought about more than that was the implied threat of having both the military and this red backdrop. And don't tell me that was just poor decision making. That was a very clear message. It was intended to be a message. You know, this guy is controlled and ran by communist China. He's controlled and ran by anybody, whoever the highest bidder is on any given day. And, you know, the idea that was anything but very clear messaging to anyone who might oppose him is ridiculous. This was him sending a shot over the bow. You know, they intend to keep pushing this agenda, which is, you know, basically the war on America. And, you know, this is just, hey, let me show you your new leader, your great leader, the king here. I think I just took it at face value as what it was, a very threatening and ominous message, trying to show his power over us.
Wow. It is incredible that, I find it incredible that the Senate the Republicans didn't do a walkout in protest, call something to it. Here's something I just, you know, said to my wife this morning. You know, Labor Day is come and gone, and yet all across the world where they don't celebrate Labor Day, there were massive protests against the World Economic Forum's policies that are being carried out by their national government. And yet here, the Republicans didn't organize anything. The Democrats are going to win in November unless something dramatic happens in the next 2 months.
Well, do you know what the problem is, Dave? Is China Mitch and some of these Republicans would rather lose than let Trump, you know, regain a foothold. I mean, they do not want MAGA to have a foothold in this country. They do not want that. They would rather lose their majority and, you know, sit in the minority with holding their seats than to fight to retake our country. You know, these guys are complicit. They're, and honestly, no better than the Democrats. If you would sell out on principle, then I would not have you as my elected official. It's just that simple. And that's what they all do. They're just all willing to sell out to keep their own seat. And I don't think that the Rhino leadership of the Republican Party wants to win. There's too much MAGA. There's too many MAGA people that are up right now. They would rather lose than have that as part of the party. This is a battle for the Republican Party's base.
Case in point, there are 8 Republican senatorial races where Mitch McConnell's bad-mouthing the candidates, leaking info to WAPO and the New York Times, and denying funding.
Yeah. Yeah, he needs to be removed. I'm not sure how it is that the people of Kentucky are still tolerating that piece of garbage.
It's funny. I've called for a recall, you know, the whole last week from Kentucky. I say, where are you? It's funny you'd say that.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I just, this guy is, he's horrendous. I mean, you know, his wife's tied with the Chinese communists. And I can't believe that anybody could be this effective, because I don't think he's stupid. I think that, and even if he's a little stupid, he can't be this stupid. If you look at what he's doing and what he's done, this doesn't ring of, oops, I'm dumb. This rings of just corruption. So, yeah, I think that ultimately this is, you know, there's a war against we the people of the United States. There's a war against freedom. And a vast majority of the people in this country would stand for freedom, but most are too have their heads too far in the sand to know what's going on. So the 20 to 30% of us that are awake, and that number is growing every day, you know, I'd say there's another 30% that are on our side but not fully awake. But you know, the those of us that are fully awake, we either you know, continue to stand, we find the energy to continue to fight on and spread the message, or country's lost, because there is a war going on against our nation in every way but the violent way, which I want to stress that we want to avoid that. We don't want violence. But, you know, we are under attack. The ideals and foundations of our nation are being destroyed.
Well, we can't get justice. I mean, are you surprised that Trump got a favorable ruling that the DOJ can't use these materials, a special master's coming in to review them? And I'd like you to talk about that process a little bit.
No, I'm not surprised. The reason is that there has to be, if you look at what's happening, you know, is there widespread corruption? Absolutely. But here's the thing. There has to be the appearance of fairness. There has to be the appearance of due process. There has to be the appearance that this is a legitimate thing. If that appearance is gone, then the people are left with no other resort but to fight back. And so, you know, they've got to keep enough people ho-hum, heads down, you know, I'm just going to keep going because, it'll sort itself out to allow the plan to keep moving. You know, I mean, the attack on our nation requires, for it to be successful, a lack of commitment from our people, right? For this to work, the people cannot be committed to fighting or to standing back. So they can't activate too many people. So, no, I'm not overly surprised about that. I think that they're very desperate right now. They've done everything they can to try and attack and destroy Donald Trump. But the guy's still there, and he ain't going anywhere. And the question's going to be, how desperate do they have to get? As this kind of comes down to the wire, are they actually going to try and arrest, you know, trump up charges, no pun intended, to arrest him? Are they going to try and perp walk him? They're going to do, you know, they're doing whatever they can, but they have to at least do it with some sort of appearance of impartiality, or it just pushes him even farther ahead. So I think that's what's going on. The special master was appointed because, frankly, this looked corrupt. You're supposed to avoid an appearance of impropriety if you're a judge or a magistrate. I'm not sure how that, you know, would even remotely apply to what happened. You know, this is the courts, that whole process pretty much, I mean, we can go into the nuance of it, but the reality is that just boils down to one thing. It looked corrupt. It sounded corrupt. Everybody felt it was corrupt, and the courts needed to save some face there.
Yeah, well, that's really good the way you put it. It's exactly what happened. It's almost a good thing because it could serve to wake up so many people. But, Tom, I made a plea on my YouTube channel to people. I just said, you people who come here, you know what's wrong. And I went through a few things, and I said, have you ever asked yourself how the Democrats keep voting for these people, even though they're losing to these people? I mean, Democrats are being attacked, and they tried to divide gay and straight and black and white and all the divisions. But at the end of the day, everyone's equally affected by what they're doing to us.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And you know, the simple reality is that it's getting harder and harder for people to not recognize what the Democratic Party stands for. You know, if you go back to, you know, the 60s Democrats, the Kennedy Democrats, that was a completely different party. In fact, I would say if you go back to the Kennedy Democrats, I would say they are more Republican than the Republicans today. It was a totally, totally different time and place. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who, well, my grandpa voted Democrat, my dad voted Democrat, I'm voting Democrat. And they don't bother to look at what's happening or what the party stands for. So, you know, they just kind of stick with it. But the reality is now, as we look at, you know, them putting litter boxes in kids' bathrooms at school, we look at, you know, the absurdity of what's happening with California's getting rid of gas-powered cars, but then telling you not to charge your electric. You look at the food supply crashing. You look at the ridiculousness of going through you know, Baron's room and Melania's underwear drawer. You know, we everywhere you look, this is so ridiculous and unhinged that it's just not sitting with people. And so I think that there are a lot of people, and I know a lot of people, who are traditional Democrats that just, they've said, you know, listen, I just can't support the Democrat Party anymore. It's gone too far, and I'm just not there. So I think that it just, when you say, how is it that anybody can still vote Democrat? I think it's just a few, I think it's for the most part, there's some people that are sold out and just total nutcase commie fruitcakes. But I think that a vast majority of the people who do it are still buying the Democrat Kool-Aid because grandpa voted that way, dad voted that way, I'm voting that way.
I think you're right, but at some point in time, you think people would walk into the grocery store or they're at the gas pump and there'd be this realization, this crap ain't working. What's causing it? You would think that would happen.
Yeah, well, and I think that is happening. I think that's happening in vast numbers. You know, I'm going to tell you that, you know, when they talk about, is there going to be a red wave? Is there not going to be a red wave? I'm going to tell you exactly what I believe is happening there. They are planning on doing whatever they have to do to steal as much of this election as possible. The question is whether or not they can get away with it. Now, if they can convince everybody that there's, you know, the red wave might not happen, well, you know, then they can make a plausible case for stealing another election. If, however, that fails, and if they have to steal this again in a very egregious way, people are going to have a fit. And I think if they steal this again, people are going to have a fit anyways. I don't think it matters. I think there's enough people awake now, enough people watching, you know, that, you know, there's going to be some mad, mad, mad people if they try and steal another one regardless. And, yeah, so that's really what this is about right now. This is really about positioning to try and justify, you know, stealing this election and seeing whether they can get enough credibility in the press and with the public on the idea that there might be anything but a red wave to get away with stealing this again. I think it's really, they're just measuring the temperature of the country to see whether or not people will tolerate it.
I think the House is winnable if the worst doesn't happen, as you're describing. But the Senate is lost. I mean, Mitch McConnell is personally pulling funding from 8 Republican senatorial races. I mean, Herschel Walker's had to take his ads down. So when you look at eight positions in the Senate, I think the Democrats would have to, or the Republicans have to win 5 of these races, if I'm not mistaken, by my calculations, if things go according to how it looks. But Mitch McConnell single-handedly handing the Senate to the Democrats. They don't have to cheat. They got Mitch McConnell to do it.
You know, I hadn't seen that. I hadn't seen that he pulled the funding.
No, here he's done three things. Though. Rick Scott already spoke on this. He didn't talk about funding. He said, you're being treasonous to the party. He said this to Mitch McConnell. He said, you're leaking information about candidates in a negative way that are Republicans to the New York Times and Washington Post. You are presenting the party in a bad light, and you're sabotaging the senatorial races. He did not get into funding, but I know for a fact Blake Masters has said this in Arizona. Herschel Walker has said this. Marjorie Taylor Greene has come out and said this is what's happening in the Senate. It's happening. 8 races. J.D. Vance once had a huge lead in Ohio. He's going to lose because he's got no funding now. Dr. Oz has no funding now. He's going to lose to a stroke victim that can't even campaign and can't talk longer than 15 seconds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the question is, you know, why are people still donating to the Republican Party? Why donate to your individual candidate? Don't donate to the Republican Party. Oh, I can't imagine why anybody would give a dime to the Republican Party. I mean, if you really want to have it do something effective, you give to the candidates or to the PACs that are going to support candidates. You know, anybody that would let Mitch McConnell or the Republican Central Committee control anything, you know, they're part of the problem. You know, I mean, it's just that simple. But you know, the problem is that we have a two-party system, and those two parties are both corrupt. Mm-hmm. So you know, whether you've got the McConnells or whether you've got the entirety of the Democrat Party, it doesn't really matter. It's two sides of the same coin, and you know, either way, what you're getting is just garbage. So I don't know. To me, we've got to fight back. Yeah, I've gone back and forth over the years on a third party. The problem with it is that it takes so much to get a third party going. By the time that happens, what are you left with? And, you know, but if we aren't going to take back the Republican Party, they certainly don't represent my views. I can't support McConnell or anyone even remotely like him. So, I don't know. We the people have to retake this. And, you know, the people listening to this show are the key. I mean, you guys, we are the base. We need to be calling and screaming. You know, we'll call and scream at you know, politicians, this, that, and other here and again. We need to be calling and screaming at the Republican Party. There should be a million phone calls to the Republican Party saying, you know, why is McConnell even anywhere near a position of leadership? Why is it that we are not supporting our Senate candidates? Why are we not, you know, what are you saving the money for? What, the country's going to be in worse shape at some time in the future?
Yeah. Did you know, I'm sure you do, that Mitch McConnell's wife, her parents control the six largest ports for communist China, and they have given a gift to the McConnell family of all these trading vessels, and he's probably making about $20 to $25 million a year. Did you know that?
Yeah. I know some of those specifics I did not, but I do know that he's his wife's family's all tied in with the Communist Party, and they're involved with trading and the ports and that sort of stuff. I mean, you know, it's just mind blowing that people don't see what's happening here. I mean, McConnell is apparently willing to sell out our country to the communist Chinese, you know, as long as he can maintain power and control.
He's Joe Biden of the Senate. And
the question is, what are we going to do about it?
Good question. I implored my audience this morning to play our shows for Democrats. Said, you can't worry about what the results are. You need to plant the seed. And you got 2 weeks to get it to, or 2 months to get it to germinate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the other thing is I want to urge them, you know, I don't care whether it's through funding, whether it's through phone calls, through, you know, so, you know, I mean, I do a lot of work with Make Americans Free again. We're going to be dropping some big stuff on this COVID, on the gain of function and another lawsuit and stuff like that coming up. So, you know, if you want to join them, you know, but what, just get active and do something. And we really need to take action to push the Republicans. I mean, the Republicans are as big a problem in this as any Democrat. Everybody knows that OAC is nuts. AOC, whatever her name is. Everybody knows she's nuts. Not many people are fighting with McConnell. Not many people are fighting with the Republicans. They are. I can deal with an enemy a lot better than I can deal with a friend who's stabbing me in the back. And that's what we've got to look out for.
You know, it's interesting. You've already said a half dozen things that I've said in the last 2 days to my audience. I guess great minds think alike. But in other words, it's so painfully obvious what needs to happen. It's mind-blowing. Do you feel this sense of approaching doom that if we allow the Democrats to win, they'll consolidate power and it'll be a one-party system from here on out?
Well, there's no question that they're trying to do that. They're going to try and consolidate, particularly around elections. I mean, they're going to try and push elections and censorship. Those will be the top priorities, which they'll call misinformation and ensuring, you know, fair elections, you know, and access to elections, things like that. Those two things are going to be the top priorities, because that ensures that we never have another fair election, another fair anything. And ultimately, the reason this is so important right now is there are certain people in this country that will not accept socialism, communism. They just won't. They would take up arms first. And, you know, I understand that. We don't want to ever have to use the Second Amendment for what it was meant to be used for. Okay, that is the goal. The goal is to fix this. No one ever wants to have to defend our country by taking up arms. We don't ever want a war in this country, a civil war or an outside war or anything else. So we have to take action now, and we've got to take action before it gets there. You know, if we go back to the civil rights movement, which I love the civil rights movement, the way that MLK, you know, pushed this out there, and, you know, the sit-ins and all the things that they did, I think Rosa Parks, you know, I mean, these are some really amazing things. Here's the thing, though. There were people that were more than ready to be violent. There were people who were violent during the civil rights movement. And you have to, you know, when you look at the question, you say, well, why? Well, they were arguably justified. I mean, I don't support violence ever. But if ever there was a time to stand, you know, that was one of those times. We don't want to get to a point where there's people that, on a large scale, that feel that way again. We want to take care of this the proper way. But when corruption takes hold at a level that people can't get justice in the courts, they can't get a fair election, then, you know, they're left without recourse. Our founding fathers knew that. You know, and they sought to build in as many safeguards as possible. We, the people, know that inherently. And a lot of our leaders, when I talk to the leaders in the conservative movement, you know, they all say, we've got to make sure that these people, the people don't get to the point where they feel like they've got to be violent. We don't want that.
Yeah, I hear you. So I'm right there with you, Tom. I am. But let me tell you, there are people that want violence. Let me give you a quote and have you respond to it. This was played a couple of times on Fox News, probably time frame 4 months ago, maybe. But it's recent enough to take it seriously. Nancy Pelosi said, and they didn't play the question that prompted the answer, but what she said was, if the Republicans manage to win the primaries, we won't honor the election because Republicans will destroy democracy. How do you take that?
Well, I take it exactly as it was sounds. I mean, you know, listen, they don't respect democracy. They don't want democracy. They want a socialist dictatorship, you know, communist nightmare. And that's what they're pushing towards. And there's a lot of Republicans that are complicit in it. They're okay with us moving there as long as they get to pretend to be the opposition party, even though they're not actually doing anything to oppose anything.
Bingo.
So, you know, this is all about maintaining power structure and expanding it. And you have to understand the foundation of government always is based on the will of the governed to be governed, right? If we, the people, refuse to accept our government, then there is no government. It changes. So if we're willing to accept and tolerate the sort of corruption that Nancy Pelosi is pushing, that Joe Biden is pushing, that, you know, Barack Obama from his basement as he's pulling the strings is pushing, you know, that these guys are pushing. If we're willing to accept that, then we're going to get it. We're going to get it. We're going to get the dystopian communist nightmare that China is. The problem, I think, that is probably as big of a problem as any, though, is that we're now at a point where technology is so advanced and where there's so many things that are being done that if the power of the people is lost, it may be lost forever. You know, that's a great concern because at some point, you know, if you look at China, they've got a camera on every corner and they know what everybody's doing and they're monitoring everything. And to organize some sort of a rebellion or some sort of a freedom movement in China would be very, very, very difficult. If we lose our freedom with technology as advanced as we have it, it would be very hard to ever earn it back. And so that's, I think, one of the things that's really changed over the historical freedom fights that we can look over, when we look back over history.
Boy, I took Pelosi's comment one step further. You'll have to physically remove us from office.
Yeah.
They're the ones that'll start the violence. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, they will. I don't think there's any question about it. Dave, listen, here's how I've talked about the COVID thing. And I'm just going to talk about it in terms of COVID.
Okay.
These guys created a disease that killed millions, many millions. They then covered up the fact that there were tons of treatments that work and prevent people from dying, and instead push treatments that actually result in death. We've incentivized killing people in our hospitals. So they've killed millions more. Then you throw the vaccine in, which isn't a vaccine, it's a weapon. It destroys people's health. It destroys their lives. And over the next 5 to 10 years, I hate to even think of what's going to happen. So they killed millions more. Dave, if the truth comes out about this, do you think that the millions and millions of people affected by this around the world are going to say, oh, well, let's send them to a Martha Stewart weekend retreat type prison for a few years and then let them go back to their billions? That's not going to happen. These guys know that if they get found out, it's Nuremberg 2.0. Mm-hmm. It's hanging from the end of a noose type stuff. They know that because they know they deserve it, frankly. So, the bottom line is that these guys, they know that they're playing this for keeps. And the more you corner an animal, the more dangerous it gets. This is why I've seen on a personal level, is the more threatening we are to in this COVID thing, and the more steam we're gaining, and the more we're doing, the more dangerous the other side's getting. And, I see the attacks, the personal attacks, the attacks on people that are working with me. I see these things increase substantially. And it's because they're losing. I mean, on the COVID side, we are winning. And, the nice thing about the COVID thing is if we actually are able to truly get the truth out entirely, that'll wake enough people up that the whole thing will start coming down, which is not lost on me and is actually part of the strategy. So, this is one of those things where when you say Nancy Pelosi would be the person to incite the violence, well, look at what happened January 6th. I mean, we know the FBI was involved. We know there's just too much nonsense there for anyone to believe that that was a coincidence. So, at the end of the day, I don't disagree with you one bit. If it comes right down to it, they're gonna fight back. God forbid, but probably even physically if they have to, because better to go down fighting than to die at the end of a rope.
Well, I really feel that you're right on the money with this. I just, again, it's major cognitive dissonance. That's the new pandemic in America. How a Democrat can continue to vote for these people after what's happening, what they've seen. I mean, can you imagine? Okay, let's say Trump was Biden, okay? And I voted for Trump. I would have been horrified if I'd have seen him come out in that setting with Marines and threaten the opposition the way he did.
I literally said the same thing on my show on Brighty on today, the exact same thing. I said, can you imagine if Donald Trump had stood out with that red background, Marines behind him, and said, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and the Democrats are a threat to democracy, and we must take action against them. Can you imagine what would have happened? I mean, he would have been impeached. He would have been, they talk about Trump trying to start an insurrection. That, I couldn't give you a better example of someone attempting to start an insurrection than that. He literally stood up there with the Marines in the background, the red, blood red background, and said that MAGA supporters are enemies of the state. I mean, that's over half the country. Are you kidding me? You know, this is mind blowing what's going on. But, you know, my wife, God bless my wife, she's a better person than me. And she will chat, she'll give me help because I'll, you know, I get grumpy. You know, I talk about being, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm a broken Christian because I'm a fighter. And I get grumpy and I'm, you know, I'm mad at these guys. I'm fighting. She say, well, you got to be kind. She always tell me I got to be kinder. I got to be nicer. Well, the other day, you know, she said that and I said, listen, I said, honey, you're right. It would be great if I was more like Jesus. I should be. But these guys are destroying our country. They're destroying our children's future. They're attacking freedom, and they're trying to destroy everything we stand for. We cannot just keep burying our head in the sand and hoping to kill them with kindness. We've got to stand and we've got to fight. And I, you know, I'm not talking about violence. We got to fight peaceably, but that doesn't mean that it's not forcibly. We have to resist. We have to take a stand. We have to say we're not going to tolerate Mitch McConnell anymore. We're not going to tolerate Nancy Pelosi or Joe Biden. MAGA's the majority. Sorry. Most people want a great America. You know, even if you don't like Trump, most people want America great. So, you know, this is something that we, the people, have to take a stand on. And, you know, I'm done with worrying about hurting your feelings on it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if people don't like that, they don't like what I have to say, that's, you know, I'm not going to be violent, but I'm also not going to apologize for taking a very, very strong stand on this.
Yeah. I Doug, my broadcast partner in the Doug and Dave Intel Report, got a email from someone telling us how off base we are, this, that, and the other. And he said, how should I respond? And said, we hope you enjoy your future shows somewhere else. And I don't have to, don't have time to deal with this. And someone accused me of being doom and gloom today. And I said, you're exactly right, because we are doomed and you're going to have a gloomy existence unless you get off your excuse and do something. And that this is what people don't seem to get. I mean, this is not a spectator sport we're in. This is a participant sport. We are gladiators in the Coliseum of politics, and everything is on the line now. Listen, I really believe this from the bottom of my heart, Tom. If the Democrats retain control in both houses, it's game over.
It's going to be a little scary, I'll tell you that. Yeah, the problem is that as long as I'm drawing breath, I'll be fighting for freedom. Okay, so the problem is, though, is what does that fight look like? And I don't want it to be something, you know, worse than what it is. I mean, it's bad enough as it is. And you're right, if the Democrats take over, it's absolutely going to be ugly.
You know, Boris Johnson showed the world who he was recently. And after his final speech, and he was championing all his benefits and victories with climate change, he jumped on his private jet and flew off.
Yeah, I know. The private jets and the climate change stuff are just amazing to me. But, you know, climate change, you know, the global warming nonsense, that was the foundation for fake science. I mean, that's the historical, you know, that's where they practice putting out fake science and lies and misleading the public, and they perfected it.
East Anglia,
they continue to publish lies.
Yep. You're right. Yeah. East Anglia University in Penn State, where they fabricated data in 2008, and that's when they changed the name from global warming to climate change to fool the public. And to some degree, it worked. Tom, tell people how they can follow your good work.
Please support us at rens-law.com. You'll see a Substack there. If you subscribe to that, you can subscribe for free, so please subscribe. And if you decide to pay for it, that money goes to the fight.
Absolutely.
We also have a Give, Send, Go there, which we'd be very grateful for. And follow us on Cloud Hub, on Getter, and on True Social.
Very good. Tom, you're a true warrior, and we covered a lot of topics today. But, ladies and gentlemen, you just heard from someone who's been consistently on the front lines, and you heard his views. Maybe you should listen a little closer and get to work. Thanks, Tom.